You know what I mean?
Oh, I got the power of a hairy frog.
Andy Dufresne crawled through a river of shit just to find this podcast.
Coming up on the show, we finally have a director for one of the biggest movie franchises ever. Also, we have a little bit of a news overload. We got a Doctor Who coins, and a little bit of a darker side to Wolverine we've never seen before. All this and so much more, so stick around, but take it away.
Talk nerdy to me.
My calculations are correct.
Welcome to Fanboys XL.
Don't cross the streams.
Warning, warning.
You are now listening to
the Fanboys XL podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Fanboys XL Podcast, the podcast for everything geek and nerdy and pop culture today. I am your host, Bob Fournier, and joining me on the other end, the man of many talents, none of which we know yet, but we'll find them soon, the one and only Rick Pivot.
What's going on, Bob?
What is up, sir?
Not much. Today I've decided to give you two facts, because I got 1,000 in this book and I can never pick enough.
Okay.
So today...
Great.
And today is creatures that'll scare the shit out of you. First, we have cone shells. Cone shells are a dangerous type of snail with hollow, venom-filled teeth that it can shoot like darts at its victim. Their deadly venom causes paralysis and can sometimes kill humans within minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, snails that shoot teeth.
I don't see a lot of snails around here. I'm all right with that. Are they... Yeah. Well, snails with teeth scare me, but...
They're hollow teeth filled with venom.
Yeah.
They're like little mini syringes.
It's kind of weird, though, because like you think about snails and how slow and stupid they are. I wonder if
right.
That's just like a... It's obviously a defense mechanism, right?
Like, obviously.
Just like, oh, look at this slow creature. I'm going to eat him. Oh, God, hollow teeth with venom.
All right. And then the next one, Bob. Have you ever heard of the hairy frog?
I think we talked about it once, but I don't
how
remember.
How about the horror frog?
No?
All right. When threatened, the hairy frog, also known as the horror frog, intentionally breaks its own bones to produce claws that puncture through the frog's toe pads to become defensive weapons. Yeah, that's a fucked up frog.
Yeah, I think we talked about that once.
Yeah?
I think you may have just double-used a fact for the first time.
Well, it's a good thing that lately I've been circling them in my book.
But don't get me wrong. Still scary as hell. I mean, a frog that breaks his own bones also right. Would be the worst superhero ever, by the
break
way.
Break their bones.
Can you imagine that? Like, oh, I got the power of a hairy frog. Stop that evildoer. Hold on. Oh, damn it.
It's kind of like Wolverine.
A little bit.
He said the bone claws?
Yeah. A little, but a frog.
A frog, and he breaks his bones.
Break their bones.
Break their bones.
A little bit of world. I've been playing way too much WoW lately, by the way.
I haven't played WoW in a month and a half.
Oh, it's so much fun.
I haven't had the desire. I think I wowed out for a little bit there, because I was playing like crazy for like 3 months straight.
Yeah, you were. You were off the chain. So, now I am a raid team and whatnot, but... This isn't a video game show. We don't talk video games. We tried that once.
Right, and it didn't work out very well.
Yeah, we had a hard time. So let's do what we do better and talk about weird news.
All right. Good transition, Bob.
Yes, thank you. Mine were a little... Like, mine was... I had a tough time picking because there's a lot of weird news lately.
Yeah.
This one, for me, I thought was just kind of funny. Boy fakes kidnapping so parents will miss teacher conference. How bad are your grades, dude? I mean, a kidnapping is some serious stuff. The boy's 11. It was out of Spain. He faked a kidnapping, sent a text message from his phone to tell his father he's been kidnapped. His father is a Spanish police officer.
Nice.
Doesn't spell disaster for this kid or anything. He said he'd been snatched while emptying the trash, locked in a car trunk.
Nice.
Well, obviously...
Your grades have to be terrible for that to be something that you're thinking of doing. I don't think I've failed classes before, and I never thought to fake a fucking kidnapping.
Yeah, it's, I don't know if it's ingenious or just stupid.
Stupid, because once he gets caught, he's now grounded.
Grounded, really? That's the worst punishment.
Well, what else would you do?
I don't know.
Put him in jail?
I would.
Obviously, if he's in school and he's worried about his grades, he's obviously underage.
He's 11.
You can't put him in jail, so you put him in home jail, which is being grounded.
Yeah, that's got to be some serious punishment, though. He was, I guess they found, the dad noticed the keys to their other house.
Yeah.
Which is must be nice. So they went there, found out the boy was hiding.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
I think you just made everything 1 million times worse for yourself.
Yeah, I would rather go, I got a C in math, than go, I've been kidnapped, come save me.
Right? What's the outcome of this situation? Like, what is the good scenario here? Like, you all of a sudden escape? You know what I mean? Like, oh, I got out. It's fine.
Like, oh, no worries. I thwarted the kidnapper. My 11-year-old self kicked the shit out of this kidnapper, and I escaped. Yeah. Yay. Shit. He stole my report card.
Right.
I guess we'll never know.
Well, the good news is I'm okay. So let's forget the schoolwork.
Let's forget about school stuff, and let's just go back to doing what we're doing. You know, you beating me with a toaster and letting me watch TV.
Yes. Your news story, however.
I always find the good ones.
You do.
Valerie Nile pulls out knives after threesome doesn't happen.
Sounds cops, logical.
I'm going to read this right from HuffPo because I love how terrible they are at writing stuff.
I know, right?
Cops didn't think it was very knife of Valerie Nile to allegedly threaten her neighbors after the threesome she had planned never materialized. A police report obtained by the Smoking Gun said that Nile, age 44, was arrested on Tuesday after Edward Sabatino called 911 once the knives made their appearance at his home in Friendship, Maine. Lou Page.
Oh.
That sounds like it's in your home state, buddy. Not in Florida, where all the other weird news is. Nile, who lives two trailers over from Sabatino, according to Sabatino's roommate, Shauna Chickering told deputies the trio was going to have a threesome. Nile is charged with criminal threatening and terrorizing. Barstool Sports argues non-prostitute-fueled threesomes are never a good idea. I'm dying.
It's funny, too, because if it's a prostitute-fueled threesome, they make it sound like it's a great idea.
It's borderline impossible to keep all three people happy and comfortable when there's always some sort of third wheel. It's best to just avoid them altogether, unless you've paid for that action, and it's just a job to other parties involved.
Life advice there, kids. Life advice.
But threesomes are hardly the only sexual encounters that can turn violent. The Southtown Star reports that on the same day Nile was arrested, an S&M photo shoot turned unexpectedly violent when Kimberly J. Williams, 45, of Crete Township, allegedly started beating another woman with a baseball bat.
I was going to say, what's she doing with a baseball bat? And then I realized it's an S&M photo shoot. I'm sure that works in there somehow.
That baseball bat may have been up someone's ass.
So, Friendship, Maine?
Yes.
I'm just going to ignore that one.
Hey, it's a possibility. It's an S&M party.
Friendship, Maine sounds... Lou, if you listen to the show, which I think you said you do, was this you?
Yeah, Lou, is your name also Edward Sabatino?
Edward Sabatino. All right, well, obviously I think that works for Rick to win.
The best news of the week in my eyes.
Once again, as always. But not to transition too quickly, but we got a lot of stuff to talk about. And we got some really big, exciting news.
Huge news. I think we should let everybody know what we're going to talk about, Bob.
The news?
Yeah.
Might I have a brief word with you?
I'm taking you off the air. I think you're having a break.
I'd like to have a calm discussion.
Getting down and nerdy with the news.
All right, everyone. And the biggest news of the week.
Hey,
We have a director. An awesome one at that. He said no.
He said it would never be done.
And then he said, sure.
And he said, as long as there's no Jar Jar Binks.
J.J. Abrams, officially directing Star Wars Episode 7.
Dude, you don't even know. The second I saw this, I called you. And I said, we must talk about that. We must discuss.
It's nuts to think that he's going to do it. And they said Ben Affleck was also in the top contending director spot. You brought that name up a couple weeks ago.
I think Ben Affleck would be good if he made like a Boba Fett movie. Or like another movie in the Star Wars universe. Because you think about it, they could make a freaking Han Solo movie if they wanted to.
Yeah, like, they could do whatever
Disney's
they want.
Disney's got that Mouseketeer ducats. So they get tons of money.
Yeah.
They can do anything that they want. But J.J. Abrams was in an interview, like a couple weeks ago, saying that his loyalty to Star Trek is too strong for him to do a Star Wars. That fucking liar. And I love him. I love him for it.
I know. I could not think of a better guy to direct Star Wars.
What they need to do, if they're smart, they need to sign him on for the next three movies. Like right out of the gate, right up front, look, you're doing three. Instead of him doing one, and then the next one is done by somebody else, and then the next one is done by somebody else.
Well, that's the scary thing, is because right now, confirmed to only do seven.
Right.
And I believe that they're saying that the lure of the Jedi was too strong.
Yo.
Which basically means you do a lot of work for Paramount, and we will pay you.
Yeah, so which basically means, hey, see this dump truck full of gold bricks and money? It's all yours if you want to direct this.
To me, and it's funny too, because him saying no and then coming back saying yes, it's almost like the Star Wars people were begging him. They're like, JJ, please, you got to do this movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I really do like this pick, though. I think he could take Star Wars in the right direction, and he won't screw it up. Look what he did with Star Trek.
Oh, and Star Trek, I didn't like Star Trek before I saw that. I was never a big Star Trek fan. I watched like Next Generation when I was a kid, a little while with my dad, but I was never like, holy shit, I need to watch Star Trek right now. And then his first movie came out, and I was like, when's the next one?
Yeah, and that's why I'm excited, because he's just such a good director, and everything he does is so cool, and he lives in the sci-fi world. He's obviously a huge fan. He wanted to do Star Trek. I'm sure he really wanted to do Star Wars, was just afraid of the whole Trekkie, Jedi.
Got big shoes to fill, because there is a whole world of Star Wars nerds out there that will lynch him if he screws this up.
Yeah, the same thing with Star Trek, though, too. Like, those guys are pretty hardcore, those Trekkies.
Right.
But, you know, his film was, I mean, everyone loved it. So, I don't know. I think this is awesome news for J.J. Abrams, but he's obviously staying completely busy, so I wonder how forefront Star Wars is on his mind.
Well, he's finishing up Star Trek. Well, Star Trek's done. He's probably just doing all the touch-ups and stuff. I think he's got something else coming out next, too, right? Isn't he? I think he's doing another movie.
I believe so.
I can't think of what it is.
Claymation movie.
looking. I don't remember. He was doing something else first. I'm looking through Geek Tyrant right now, and I don't see anything. This isn't helpful.
Well, while we look for that, we could also talk about his new TV show, too.
Oh, yes.
He's going to be doing a futuristic buddy cop show.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. And it's going to be sci-fi again. So he's going back. Was it back to Fox?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Fox. I mean, that's where he's been for all of his stuff, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Everything he's done has been on Fox.
Was Lost on? No, Lost was on ABC.
ABC,
right?
Fox, yeah.
But Fringe and Flash Forward and Alcatraz, all that stuff was on Fox. But
this is really funny, isn't it?
I remember them talking about this show a while ago, and I'm just hoping it's not another Fringe. I hope it's something different. I mean, Fringe was awesome. Granted, I haven't seen the series finale yet, but I'm hoping that it's something really good, because the problem is he's had at least five or six shows come out in the past 10 years. Only two of them have made it.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
Fringe and Lost, because Alcatraz was canceled. Flash Forward was canceled. I don't even know what's going on with Revolution. I haven't even watched it. I lost interest after like episode 5.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird one.
Yeah, so like, I'm hoping that it's something good. I mean, didn't he also do a detective show? Wasn't there like two? There was like a black guy and a woman. I don't remember what their names were, but it was like a detective show that wasn't like futuristic. It was modern, and I'm pretty sure that got canceled too.
I don't know what the deal is with his things of getting canceled. Person of Interest. He's a producer on that. I know that. That's all I remember. Super 8 was a good movie, though.
Oh, Super 8 was awesome.
Looking at his filmography here, too. Mission Impossible 5 been announced. Yep. Cloverfield sequel.
That's what he's working on. Okay, woo!
Got it?
Yeah, he's working on Mission Impossible 5 next, I think.
He's also got Wonderkind and an untitled Cloverfield sequel, which will probably be Cloverfield 2.
Yeah.
If I had to guess. No, but this one's...
Electric Boogaloo, Rise of the Cloverfield.
Yes! This one, this TV show that hasn't been titled yet, it's going to be futuristic, buddy cop, two cops set in the near future, but the LAPD officers are partnering with highly evolved human-like androids.
So RoboCop?
Essentially, I would say. And it's when you say buddy cop, I always think funny.
Right, I always think like The Other Guys or Cop Out or any of those movies that are buddy cop movies.
Yeah, when you say J.J. Abrams.
Even Lethal Weapon is considered buddy cop because it's got funny moments and stuff. And
it's got a lot of... And that would be perfect, that style of action and comedy mixed together. But I don't see J.J. Abrams in funny in the same sentence.
If they can make this movie, this TV show, like Michael Bay's Bad Boys, like that buddy cop vibe in Bad Boys 2, with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, if J.J. Abrams can make his show like that Michael Bay movie, that would be awesome. Just the banter between them.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I think this show would depend on casting too.
Right.
Really, when you think about it,
one of the characters is going to be someone from Lost.
Hurley.
Because all of his shows are like that. Hurley would be awesome. He's the cop that's not the robot, and they have to give him a robot because he's too fat to do anything.
There you go. We just made your show, JJ.
I need Hurley back on a TV show.
I know. He's so good. He's so good.
He's awesome. He was on, I guess he was on that Once Upon a Time show recently.
Yeah, Marina watches that. Apparently, it's really, really good.
Yeah, apparently I've been told I should watch it by many people, but I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm on the same way. The funny thing is, season one, Netflix, season two, Hulu, and then the third one's on TV now. So it's like, go back and forth.
Yeah, I just picked up the first season of Justified, so I'm busy with TV shows already.
Yeah, and that's a good show, too, from what I hear. Never seen it, but...
Pretty awesome.
Something else that's pretty amazing, too. Have you ever stayed at the Stanley Hotel in Colorado?
No.
Yeah, me either.
I've never even been to Colorado.
Me either. We'll get there. We'll stay in the room. We'll get there someday. Room 237.
Donations at fxlnetwork.com/donate. If you want to send us to Colorado, you know where to go.
Well, it shouldn't cost that much, people.
Go meet Brian Ibbett.
Oh, maybe he'll send us.
And Colorado is legal marijuana.
That it is, Rick. let's talk about Room 237.
Yes.
This is a documentary about The Shining.
Yes, it is.
You said it came out last year before...
it was on. It was in last year's Sundance Festival. And this year it's coming out on March 29th on IFC.
That's pretty cool. I want to see this because I love the different theories behind... this movie. I don't know if you've heard them all, but there's a ton. They compare it a lot to Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that some people say it takes place entirely in Cameron Frye's head?
Right.
This film, this documentary, supposedly throws so many different theories like that. Even to the point of Stanley Kubrick shooting fake footage of the first moon landing.
Yeah. Let's not get on that topic.
Yes, people, I know.
People will hate me.
Yes, I know. But
they already do.
So if you're into all that paranoid, all these different movie philosophies, this documentary might be for you because it's definitely going to show, and there's a lot. Like, I can't remember anything specifically, but there's a lot of people that talk about The Shining and how it could be translated as this into a movie and how it represents this as a movie and how this didn't really happen, but this actually happened in a movie. And Stanley Kubrick, am I saying his name right? Kubrick?
I believe so.
I think I want to say Kubert. He's known for making some crazy movies.
Yeah.
So that should be interesting.
I'm excited. I haven't seen The Shining in so long that this will probably make me want to watch it again anyway.
Yeah, I kind of was looking at it on the Netflix instant queue to see if it was on there, because as soon as I heard this, I was like, that is such a good movie.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, because it says it's coming out on IFC, I'm wondering if it's going to come out on like Netflix and stuff at the same time.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, that would be actually, and it's because yeah, on Netflix right now, it's not available, but yeah, it's on the Netflix website. So I'm wondering if that means once it gets released on IFC, if it'll also get released on here.
I hope so.
Because that would be sweet.
Netflix has so many documentaries out there.
Oh, we're going to have our own segment pretty soon.
Oh, I love
documentaries.
I love how you just transitioned into that. That was great. Something to think about. If you guys are into documentaries and stuff too, and you want to hear us talk about maybe a review every couple shows of a documentary that you recommend or that you think we should watch, email us at the show, fanboysxlpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, because we tend to watch a bunch of documentaries, and I just watched one the other day.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun. I love
documentaries. It wasn't on Netflix. It was on DVD.
DVD.
Oh, Forrest Griffin.
Oh, the fighter? The UFC fighter?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Forrest Griffin, Ultimate Fighter. It was good.
I didn't even know they made a movie.
Oh, yeah. It's a documentary. It's like 4 hours long. It's got a bunch of his fights on it and shit, too.
That's cool.
Oh, that's wicked good.
Yeah. I also didn't know that they were making $155 coins.
Well, it's a $2 coin. The value of it's $2, but it's $155 if you want one. And it's a fucking Doctor Who coin.
Doctor Who.
I want one so bad.
Doctor Who coin. And it's legal tender, right? $2. You can use it.
Yeah, you can use it over in New Zealand. It's $2. You can actually use it for $2, which I don't know why you would want to do that if you bought it for $155. But from the picture, it looks like it comes in a TARDIS. Like, the case for it is a TARDIS.
That's probably worth the $155 right there. Like,
I want this so bad.
I just think it's cool that New Zealand has legalized Doctor Who as legal tender. That's crazy.
Well, Doctor Who is their superhero over there.
Yes.
Over in the BBC.
The Bibs.
The Bibs.
The Bibsies. You know they also made Transformers coins, too?
Yes, which is weird. But cool. It's weird because they use the 80s Transformers.
Which I like.
I like it, but I'm surprised that just now they wouldn't use something more modern.
Now, here's my ultimate question to you for this news story.
Okay.
How much would you pay for a Doctor Who commemorative coin?
$155.
Would you really?
Depending on when my income tax comes in.
I can't see spending more than $50, even on like a Transformers coin or something, because it's $2, man. I mean, I guess it's cool. I don't know. I would just feel so weird about buying something. Like, what'd you buy? Transformers Optimus Prime coin. It's legal in New Zealand. It's a $2 coin. Oh, what'd you spend on it? Apparently $283.
Oh, Bob, they also have Star Wars coins. I'm on their website right now.
Yeah, I'm looking too. I was just trying to
see if I could find the prices to buy stuff. There's a Yoda coin. Why would you want a Princess Amidala coin?
Who wouldn't?
Or a Kid Anakin coin in a freaking pod racer.
Is there a Jar Jar Binks coin?
There's a Darth Maul coin, which I would totally get.
Nah. So here's, not to get off on a political tangent, but you want to solve economy? Make a bunch of coins. America.
Yeah, but doesn't it cost like 1.4 cents to make a penny? I'm pretty sure it costs more to make coins than they are worth.
You make pennies for 1.4 cents, right? And you put friggin' Star Wars characters on them, we will pay $20 for those pennies.
Oh, yeah. I would love for them to get rid of coins. Oh, sir. In American dollars, that Doctor Who coin is $129.83.
There you go. Look at that.
I just saved $30.
Yes. Excellent. Plus shipping and handling brings you back up to about $155 or so.
It comes out May 1st.
May 1st, everyone. If you're a fan of Doctor Who, which you should be.
Right?
Get the coins.
It's maybe on my want list.
Have you ever seen Conan?
Of course. Who hasn't seen Conan?
Have you seen Arnold Schwarzenegger lately?
Yes.
Dude's 65 years old.
Yes, he is.
He's excited about The Legend of Conan.
Yes, which is good, because the last Conan movie, was it Destroyer or Barbarian? I think Barbarian was the first one, and Destroyer was the second one,
right? Yeah, the Barbarian was first, I think.
At the end of Destroyer, he's the king.
Yeah.
And Conan, the legend of Conan, takes place when he's old as the king.
Yep.
So it even makes sense.
The timelines match up, which is cool. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's 65. The dude doesn't look 65. I'm sorry. He's good for his age, man. I guess they could probably pull it off or make him look old, but is he going to be able to handle it?
Of course. I mean,
it's Conan. Well, it is Arnie. It's the Terminator.
I mean, it's not going to be Conan like we know it with him. I mean, I think it's going to be more him as the king with a huge battle going on. I don't think it's just going to be him running around with a fucking bastard sword killing people.
I think it's gonna be more
of like a warmongering kind of thing, like the Battle of Helm's Deep and shit like that from Lord of the Rings. I think it's gonna be stuff like that.
Yeah, I can see that. That would make more sense.
Especially since they're getting Weta to do all their special effects, which is gonna be amazing. Just look at Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit.
I know. I was gonna say, if you look at those films and think Conan, you're already in the right frame of mind.
Right?
So it's great. I think the most surprising thing about this news story, though, is there's a website called thearnoldfans.com. I want my own fans and a website from them.
We should have the fxlfans.com.
I know.
Oh, we can get Arnold's book, Total Recall.
So Conan's obviously something to look forward to because, I mean, we all loved it. You're going to get the right special effects company. The writing's going in the right direction.
Right.
I wonder if Peter Jackson's going to have his hands on it at all.
That would be awesome. Oh, I mean, if you go to the Arnold fans website, did you go to it yet?
Yeah.
Did you see the picture that someone photoshopped of old man Arnold as Conan?
Yeah.
It looks badass.
Yeah, you can see it. You can pull it off.
Yeah, it looks badass, so I'm excited.
I want a movie like this. I want another... I mean, maybe I just miss Game of Thrones. I don't know. I want something. Or Spartacus. You know what I mean? I need that kind of...
Especially since, did you see that new Conan movie?
Yeah, well, I saw Conan, Conan.
Well, there's the new one Conan. With what's-his-face from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's the one I saw.
Yeah, I just watched that one the other day on Netflix. It wasn't bad, but he was way too talky to be a barbarian.
Right, and that's what kind of bothered me. It was a lot of talking and dialogue. I'm like, no.
Like, this is not barbarian. I mean, it wasn't bad. Like, the action scenes. Like, if you just want to watch something, you should be able to turn off your brain and watch something that's going to make you just be like, yeah, this is badass. Watch it. But if you're looking for Conan, that's not it.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't a huge fan of that movie. I kind of was like, eh, it's all right. Like you said, the action scenes are cool. But the actual story and whatnot is kind of boring.
Yeah.
But enough Conan. Let's get into some actual superhero news because we have quite a bit today.
Superheroes are the best.
Yes. What do you want to start with, Batman?
Sure, of course. Who doesn't want to start with Batman?
I figured you would. How you ever watched Batman Beyond?
I watched like once or twice. I don't like his costume, so I never really got into it. It takes place in the future, and everything's really weird looking. And
yeah,
I mean,
it's
Paul Dini doing it from the '90s Batman cartoon, so which is good. So it's a good story and stuff, but I just couldn't get into the art style.
I remember being a little bit younger and watching this when it first came out. Was a young Batman and stuff like that, and it's kind of weird how it was futuristic, and he's got all these futuristic toys and stuff.
Yeah.
And
young the art Batman style in the future,
yeah, it's weird art style. Like, exactly, it's almost like a cross of like Japanese anime and regular,
right?
You know what I mean? Art style and regular.
It's really weird that the mask covers his face completely, but he still has a mouth. I always thought that was weird.
It's a cartoon, Rick.
but it's weird.
Well, I thought you'd be more excited, but I guess you never really watched it. But one of the what?
So I'd be more excited. Like, yeah, they're talking about a Batman Beyond live action movie, like kind of. I would rather them make an Arkham Asylum movie.
Yeah, I think we all would. Batman Beyond's not terrible. I could see it being a movie. I could see them doing something with it, rebooting it that way, where you know, old Bruce Wayne trains young new Batman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But one of the executive producers, Michael Uslan, who's been producer of Batman through all the way through Burton's movies to Nolan's, wants a live-action Batman Beyond movie.
And how where he says Bruce Wayne is in his 80s training a young Batman, how cool would it be to see Clint Eastwood as Batman, or as Bruce Wayne? That sounds amazing.
Yes.
Do The Dark Knight Returns as a live-action movie instead of Batman Begins. Because Dark Knight Returns, that cartoon movie I was talking about last week,
yeah,
I felt like it was freaking Clint Eastwood as Batman.
Yeah, I still haven't watched it yet, but I mean, Clint Eastwood as Batman. Man, oh man.
It would be awesome.
It would be a hardened veteran of Batman that's seen too much, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just how Clint Eastwood rolls.
Right.
But we'll see where that goes. I'm sure it won't go very far. I'm sure they'll take the reboot in another direction. Arkham Asylum would be a much better way to go.
My guess is the reboot's going to come off of whatever happens in the Justice League movie.
Yeah, we'll find out
soon. Because that will probably be the Batman that goes into the next Batman movie. So whoever's Batman in Justice League, I think it's going to build off of that.
We'll find out, won't we?
We will.
Speaking of groups of superheroes, the X-Men.
Yes.
Days of Future Past. We have more? More.
This movie is going to be fucking amazing. This movie is going to be for X-Men what Avengers was for Marvel in general.
I believe.
This is epic.
Is what you're looking for.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, we have Ellen Page, Anna Paquin, and Sean Ashmore.
Yes.
All returning from Days of the Future Past, which obviously will be coming back with, who we got, Michael Fassbender, Hugh Jackman, Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart.
It's essentially everyone from First Class and everyone from the other X-Men movies.
It's crazy. Lucas Till, still rumored. He's the kid who played, Havoc, I believe?
Yeah.
He's still rumored. He hasn't been confirmed yet.
Well, that's like, I don't think they've confirmed anyone who's played Beast yet, Kelsey Grammer or the new guy.
Huh.
So they haven't talked about him yet either. And they still need to cast Bishop, because Bishop is a main thing in the Days of Future Past. He's the time traveler.
Yeah.
And they still haven't cast him yet. Exactly. So they got to figure that shit out.
Who do you think they're going to go with? Who are they going to do Bishop?
It all depends on how straight up to the comics they make him.
Talking big beefy Bishop?
Yeah. Big beefy Bishop. I mean, I think, what's his name? Played Spawn in the Spawn movies, and he was Gamble in The Dark Knight, that black guy. Oh, what's his name? He played Jax in that Mortal Kombat series on the internet.
I don't remember his name.
Michael J. White.
Yes, thank you.
I think he would be perfect.
I could see that.
Michael J. White would be awesome.
Great actor. Fits the role perfectly.
Ugh.
I could see that. I don't know. I'm just kind of amazed that, the cast of this movie is crazy.
It's going to be a very epic movie because they're going to have to fill a lot of shit into one movie or make it into a couple movies. Because there's going to be a shit ton of stuff going on.
Do you think they're going to do that? Do you think they're going to split it into two movies?
That would be the smart thing to do because you figure it's going to have present day, past, and future. All at the same time. Yeah. Plus Sentinels, plus Magneto. And just fucking everything's going to be in this movie. I hope they do it right.
I believe you just went a little bit of a
geek out.
Oh, but, yes, I did. But that's geek okay. Out.
Speaking of the X-Men, too, the Wolverine.
Yes.
It's going through the Batman wash cycle, I guess you could say.
Which is good because Wolverine should have always been dark.
Correct. So they're going to go a little bit deeper and darker over there in, where are they shooting, Japan?
Yes.
And they talked about a lot of the Japanese culture that's going to be in. It's going to be a completely different movie for Wolverine fans.
Yeah, I mean, they even said that there's going to be a bunch of Japanese spoken in the movie with subtitles because of they're trying to stay true to the area instead of making everyone speak English.
Right.
Which is cool. The weird thing is I read something that this movie takes place after the X-Men movies. Which is weird, because at the end of the Wolverine movie, he was in Japan.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah.
That's a little plot hole there for you.
Yeah.
He also talked about any sort of trailers and stuff, and he says he's not marketing for Fox, he's doing it on his own taste. But he said, and I quote, "We will be lifting our skirt and offering a peek or two, certainly in months to come."
Ooh, he got all sexy with this.
Weirdo. No, it's pretty cool, though. I love to see Wolverine and, how the director talked about the berserker rage and a guy that just gets pissed off, and that's what gets him going. Something that's going to turn Wolverine not completely dark like Batman, but I would actually almost say darker.
What I think is awesome, did you ever play the X-Men Origins Wolverine video game?
For a little bit.
You rip people in half in that game.
Yeah.
That's the Wolverine I want to see in a movie. Angry, killing people Wolverine.
And that's what he wants to go for, too. And he said here, too, I believe it was it's not violence. It's not about getting an R rating. It's about intensity. He wants to make it intense on the Wolverine character itself.
Yes.
That just goes right there. That shows you this guy really wants a serious Wolverine movie.
Right.
This is crazy.
Ugh.
Very excited, but obviously we're still a little while away from even seeing a trailer on that. But, you know, having him, and the weird thing is they talked about his haircut.
Yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, we gave him a new haircut. I think it's more handsome. Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for the info.
Well, I think it's because, I don't remember if it was the X-Men Origins Wolverine or if it was X-Men 3, his hair was fucking whacked.
Oh, he looked like three.
He looked like he was from the Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah, he did. That was bad. Oh, that was funny, though.
Yeah.
That was funny. So we'll keep our eyes on that, but that sounds like
I still want to see Hugh Jackman throw on the yellow and black mask.
I don't think you'll ever see
Wolverine,
that.
The Wolverine spandex suit.
Never see it. I don't think you'll ever see him do it.
Just once.
Just once.
Just like a pair of pajamas or something. it's around the house clothes.
I'm just getting ready to go to the gym.
Or what if when he's all samurai, his gi is yellow and black?
Well, speaking of stuff you'll never see, Superman Lives.
Looks amazing.
Oh my god, I never even really paid attention much to this. I remember them talking once about a Tim Burton Superman movie called Superman Lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it never happened.
I remember seeing a bunch of concept art for it with Nicolas Cage wearing a silver Superman suit with long hair.
Yeah, the rainbow Superman suit.
Yeah.
So this guy, John Schnepp from Los Angeles, California, wants to make a documentary on and using Kickstarter to fund it.
John Schnepp.
Schnepp.
Yeah, and he's a director-producer of Metalocalypse and Grim Fairy Tales.
Yeah, so he knows the stuff.
Yeah, he knows the stuff. He's got to raise a shit ton more money, though. He needs $98,000 and he only has 29.
Yeah, he's still have a month and a half to go, but
yeah, he's sitting in a pool of stuff from this movie though that he just wants to put into a documentary so that we can all see what could have been made.
Yeah, he was talking, and I guess over the years he started collecting concept art and finding more stories. The original script written by Kevin Smith,
which is awesome, which is funny too because Kevin Smith on, I think it's Evening with Kevin Smith, the first one, he talks about this script. And they wanted him to write a scene where Superman fights a polar bear in the Fortress of Solitude. And he's like, it wouldn't be very solitude if there was a polar bear there. And why would he be fighting a polar bear?
Right. You know, yeah. And Tim Burton, too. Tim Burton's going to make it weird. You want weird, you're going to go with Tim Burton.
Would have been cool though, like it shows some of the concept art in this Kickstarter video of Brainiac, and it almost looks like the aliens from Mars Attacks.
It would have been so cool to have Brainiac as a villain in the Superman movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was pretty good on Smallville, but in a Superman movie, would have been even better.
I know, right? I don't know. I just think this is kind of cool. If you guys want to fund it, absolutely go ahead. It's Kickstarter.com. Search for "The Death of Superman Lives."
Which is a weird title.
Which is a very weird title. But this guy's cool. Like, I like him. I like what he's doing. Like, looking at the concept art, I also want to know more about it.
Right.
And he's got, like, and like it's got the Nick Cage rainbow suit with, like, electronic lighting going all over it. And
yeah, it's ridiculous.
He's got, like you said, a lot of that concept art and everything going for it. And he just wants to interview people and even talk to Tim Burton himself.
Yeah.
And find out why the movie fell apart and, like, what really caused it, you know?
What happened to it, yeah.
And he also, and if he reaches his stretch goal of, like, $150,000, he's going to film a few scenes from the movie.
Right.
From the script that Kevin Smith wrote.
That's
Kevin
crazy.
Smith, you just need to fund this right now.
Right?
I think you got money somewhere.
Why aren't you funding it?
You want to see this come to life, don't you?
Are you listening to our show?
If so, thank you.
Please write in.
Please write in. Let us know. So that's about it for that. But we do have some more superhero news. Superhero moves.
They've been talking about making a Doctor Strange movie for a long time and an Ant-Man movie. And now it's confirmed on within the Marvel Universe to be part of Phase 3 of the Avengers Initiative stuff.
Yes.
Because we already know Phase 2 is the new Thor movie, Iron Man 3, Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America 2 and Avengers 2.
Right.
Phase 3 is going to have Ant-Man and Doctor Strange in it.
Yes. Now, that's all we know for sure. We know that Avengers 2 is going to hit theaters May 2015.
Yeah.
Which seems so far
and
along the way.
And then it says Ant-Man is supposed to come out November of the same year.
So it's going
to
be the first film in Phase 3.
Yeah. And Ant-Man's badass.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, Ant-Man, that's fucking dumb. Go watch the Avengers TV, the cartoon, and you'll love that Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, It's amazing. I mean, he's just like running, fighting someone, pushes a button, he shrinks to the size of an ant, throws a guy over him, grows into a giant, steps on another guy, turns back normal, goes into an air vent small. It's just, it's so quick that it's just going to look amazing. It's going to be, watching Ant-Man in this movie fight people is going to be like watching Nightcrawler in the second X-Men movie for the first time when he was in the White House.
Yeah, that was awesome.
He was just teleporting
epic.
Everywhere, yeah. And beating the shit out of everyone. That's so crazy. That whole movie is going to seem like.
Yeah, and like Ant-Man's crazy. And then Kevin Feige, the guy who's like pretty much blasting all this stuff out, head of Marvel over there. Not head of Marvel, he's head of, what's he head of? Marvel Studios, yeah, right?
I think so.
Yeah, and he talked that Doctor Strange also has been confirmed.
Yeah, and Doctor Strange is a little strange. He's a Sorcerer Supreme, is what he is. So it's not as much a superhero movie as it is like a magic movie. So we'll see how that comes out.
Yeah. So, I mean, we haven't officially got a Doctor Strange.
Right.
You know, it's not official yet, but they're saying.
Right. They've still been talking about it for years, and if it happens, it'll happen during Phase 3.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I'm excited about Marvel and everything they're doing. I'm loving the Iron Mans, the Thors. I can't wait to see where the new Phase 3 takes everything with Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And Avengers 2 is going to be crazy, too.
Oh, yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, dude. What is going to...
So, there's so much comic book coming out for movies lately that it's going to be... We've taken over. The geeks are now in charge of Hollywood.
We are. We're winning. We're finally winning. But the thing is, too, it's like 2015 is so far away.
Yes, it is.
It's 2013, and it just started.
Yeah, like, but we have plenty of stuff coming out.
A lot of filler.
We got Iron Man 3 coming out this year. We got the new Superman movie coming out this year. We got plenty of stuff.
Oh, yeah. We're fine. It's just I want to see the Avengers, too.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. I want to see where Joss Whedon takes the second. You know what I mean? That's what I'm more excited about is Joss Whedon in something. You know what I mean? Like, it's just I want to see where he goes from it.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? Can I say that one more time? You know what I mean? I'm editing all that out. No, I'm not.
Nice.
All right, well, that's about it for news. Let's wrap on over to what we want to recommend to people.
Incoming recommendations.
I would recommend that you go to the segment that you skipped.
You guys want to hear a made-up movie? Not used to that one yet. It's not as big as the other ones.
Right?
Make it bigger.
I'll make it.
All right. So a couple weeks ago, we had a fan, a listener, wrote in and wanted us to make a McNinja movie. And Rick and I liked the idea so much that we decided to make it into a trilogy. We played part one for you a few weeks ago. And we have just finished part two. So this is McNinja 2. I call it Electric Boogaloo.
With Ricky San's training complete, Master Boba brings him to the McRib Fortress to battle their way in.
We must keep fighting, Ricky San. We must not fall into the temptation of the McRib. That delicious smelling McRib.
Master, what are you doing? Don't touch that!
Oh, maybe just one bite.
No!
See the darkness, and it is good. Join me, young Ricky-san.
I will never join you! Never!
With Boba now on the mix side, Ricky-san must now become the master and pass this final test to destroy his master or be consumed by the power of the McRib.
I don't want to fight you, master, but I will do what needs to be done and rid the world of this McRib abomination.
It's all a lie. Nothing can stop it.
There may be one way.
Bob Fournier as Master Boba.
What are you doing?
Rick Piven as Master Rick.
I have traveled far and found the destructor of the McRib.
No, it can't be.
Oh, it is, Master. I will save you from the McSide. Open your mouth. Take it all. It's a delicious kale smoothie! Rich in fiber and antioxidants. Everything the McRib isn't.
No!
McNinja 2, The Fall of Master Boba.
Oh!
Well, yes, then.
There will be blood.
That was McNinja 2. The Fall of Master Boba / Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. Should have called it The Fall and Rise of Master Boba.
Yeah, that was a little spoiler at the end for next, to part 3.
No.
I wasn't going to play that, but...
A little teaser.
A little teaser trailer there. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed the second installment of your McNinja movie. I'm so... My throat hurts from doing these Asian accents. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not used to doing voice work like this, but... it's a lot of fun, though. I'm really glad we got the suggestion, and once we play the third one, we will inform everyone of the next movie that we have the email on, but it's going to be a surprise until then.
Yes.
Rick.
It's going to be great. Yes, Bob.
Shall we get into what we recommend the people to do?
We should.
All right.
Incoming recommendations.
Deja vu. All right, what are you going to recommend the folks to watch, listen, do, read, eat?
I'm going to recommend a movie that's up for a bunch of Academy Awards. Yesterday, me and my friend Carmen went out to watch Lincoln, and it was... I have mixed feelings about it.
All right, tell me. What's up?
It was fucking amazing. Okay. Daniel Day-Lewis in that movie is amazing. It's kind of boring. It's the whole movie. I mean, it's been out for like a month now. Everyone spoilers. Knows. It's history, so everyone knows what happens.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. The
how
whole
does,
movie,
how does it end?
The whole movie is about him trying to pass the 13th Amendment and getting the votes and tracking people down and trying to get them to vote for it and all that stuff to pass the amendment. So the entire movie is just trying to get that 13th Amendment. So it's not like the life of Lincoln. It's not the death of Lincoln. It's just trying to pass that 13th Amendment, the abolishment of slavery. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, high-tiered actor, name on the movie poster, is in the movie for like 5 minutes.
Really?
And it's 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
He plays Lincoln's older son. And Tommy Lee Jones is in it a bunch. There's a bunch of actors. Like, Jackie Earle Haley's in it. There's a bunch of actors in this movie.
Yeah, I heard it was pretty much Daniel Day-Lewis saying, I want Academy Awards.
Yeah. He... I don't know if it's makeup or if he's 100, but he looked really old in this movie.
Dude looks just like Lincoln.
He looks just like him, and he was like they had little funny moments in it and stuff like that, and it was really really good, but it's very dry, almost like did you ever watch There Will Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah, for a little bit. That was a very dry movie.
Very dry movie. The thing that pissed me off the most, where like we audibly in the theater said, "What the fuck." Everyone knows how Lincoln dies. He gets shot when he's in Ford Theater watching a play.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the movie, spoilers if you don't know history, the end of the movie, his son is watching a play. And all of a sudden, someone runs out on stage and goes, Lincoln was shot at the Ford Theater. And his son cries in the balcony, movie done. You don't even see him die.
Really?
Like, it's at a different theater with his 7-year-old son crying. And they just come out on stage and go, President Lincoln was just shot. And they, like, go to his house and he's laying in bed and there's blood all over his pillow coming out of the back of his head. And they announce time of death. And then they show, like, a little clip of a speech. Not even the 4 score and 7 years ago speech.
Oh, wow.
And the movie ends. And I'm like, really? You're going to kill him at the end of the movie and not even, like... kind of show it?
I wonder if they thought it would be distasteful. I don't know.
I'm wondering if we're trying to figure out. I think it might be like an artistic thing that Steven Spielberg might have done, because maybe we all know how that's going to happen. We all knew how it was going to end. They've shown it so many times that he was like, you know what? I'm not going to show it.
Right.
So I don't know if I'm happy or mad that happened that way. I'm very mixed feelings on how the movie ended.
Now, the movie in whole, like I've heard it's a lot of Daniel Day-Lewis talking.
Oh, it's a shit ton of Daniel Day-Lewis talking. It's probably like 90% of Daniel Day-Lewis talking.
Really?
And he's got like he's got people in his cabinet that are going out there trying to get votes from the Democrats and all that stuff for people to vote for this thing, because he needs, I think at the beginning of the movie, he needs like 30 more votes to pass it.
Yep.
And so they're bribing people. They even bump into a guy and drop a bag of money on the ground and go, oops. And like when they give the guy his book back, they start putting money in the book while they're looking at him going, yeah, you want to sign that? You want to vote for this?
Really? Like, that's funny. Yeah.
And he's got a few good jokes in there, and he tells stories. But he's super old Abe Lincoln. Like, there's a bunch of time where he's walking around with a blanket over his shoulders because he's cold. Like, It's really, really good, and I would be surprised if it didn't get the Academy Award.
Everyone's saying.
Be prepared to watch a really good, dry, 2.5 hour long movie.
So it's good, but it's a little
I would recommend it. I would recommend it if you're not tired.
I hope you would, sleepy, because it's everyone recommends.
if you're sleepy, don't watch it yet, because you're going to fall asleep. So
my recommend is not as serious. It's something that we came across a while ago. Melina and I watched it some time ago.
Yeah.
Back in the theaters.
I kind of want to see this movie.
Yeah, it's available February 5th on DVD and Blu-ray to own, rent, or do however you do. Mm-hmm. It's Here Comes the Boom with Kevin James.
Ooh.
He is an
MMA movie with a fat comedian.
He's really not that fat, though.
I know. I remember in the previews, they showed him with his shirt off, and I was like, what happened to him?
Well, he's still big, don't get me wrong, but he lost a ton of weight. And, like, there's some scenes with him training, and it's really him. Like, just, like, kind of hitting the gloves.
Yeah.
Dude's in shape. Like, he's hitting, and, like, you see his arms have muscle to him, you know what I mean? It was kind of cool to watch, but, yeah, basically he's a high school biology teacher, kind of lost the whole meaning of why he's teaching, doesn't like anything. Henry Winkler's in it as the music teacher. Good in everything he does. Basically, they got to go save a school program without too many spoilers. Kevin James ends up running into Boss Rutan, one of the biggest overseas foreign MMA fighter there is.
Yeah.
Owns his own gym. Oh, super funny guy. He was great in this movie. And, like, coming as an MMA fighter into a movie, I was like, yeah, we'll see how he does.
Right.
This dude almost stole the show. He was so funny. He just plays the perfect guy. He's actually playing someone trying to get citizenship into the United States. So he's saying all sorts of funny stuff. And, oh, man, it was so good. The movie itself is kind of your average comedy, love interest, something happens, a little bit predictable movie.
Now, see, it looks a little campy. And
it is. It is. But it's a fun watch. I mean, it's Kevin James. And if you don't like Kevin James, you're not funny. He's just a funny dude. Like, the way he portrays himself is funny. There's a lot of funny scenes in it, even when he's, like, in the middle of the cage fighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He had a lot of writing over this movie, too. Like, a lot of the producing and stuff like that. So, it's got his sort of take on it. But I would definitely recommend you guys go and at least rent it on February 5th. It might be worth a Blu-ray buy because there is a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff from what I hear that you can kind of pick up on and learn about what he did for the movie.
Yeah.
Training and whatnot.
Nice.
But yeah, it was a fun little movie. We saw it a while ago, but I found out it was coming out soon. So I was like, yeah, I'll recommend it. People should go and see it. It's pretty funny.
Cool. I'm excited. Yeah, when I first heard about that movie, I was like, "That's gonna be terrible." And then when I saw the preview, I was like, "Yeah, it looks kind of funny."
Yeah, it's
good. So I'm definitely gonna check it out.
Very campy, very predictable, but it definitely made us laugh a few times. So if you're in that kind of mood, then
sweet.
Yeah, you're good to go. All right, let's do our newest segment that I love doing.
5, 4, 3.
The top 10.
Every week, Rick finds a top 10 story, and I have no idea what it is until about now.
Yes, open that baby up, Bob.
All right, here we go. This one's titled what, Rick?
Top 10 Ridiculous Foreign Superheroes.
Is this going to be offensive and bad?
It possibly will.
Okay, fair warning.
Number 10, Super DuPont. His true identity unknown, Super DuPont is the son of an unknown soldier buried under the Arc de Triomphe. Super DuPont is a title character in a French comic series made as a parody of common French stereotypes. He wears a beret, smokes, drinks wine, eats French cheese, and even sometimes has a baguette under his arm. His powers are super strength, invulnerability, and flight. Oh, and firing a magic ray from his hands that can cure gonorrhea.
One question. What's with the chicken?
I don't know.
He's got a chicken on his hand.
But he also has a bunch of band-aids on his hand because that chicken's tearing him up.
Yeah, this dude is super French.
Which is funny because he's invulnerable.
He's pretty much Superman. Like
Look at the logo for Super DuPont. It looks like the Superman logo.
Yeah, that's funny. So that's a French stereotype made by the French.
Yes. Number 9, Generation Tesla.
Oh, boy.
Generation Tesla is a superhero team founded by the internet's favorite underdog scientist, Nikola Tesla. In this Siberian comic, Nikola Tesla evades his own death, presumably orchestrated by Edison, by transferring to another plane of existence. Once there, he resurrects a bunch of dead humans slain by an evil dude named Cobalt.
Right.
He then transforms them all into superheroes to counter villainous threats, while at the same time trying very hard not to infringe on X-Men.
It does look like X-Men. I'm a Nikola Tesla fan. That guy's done a lot. I love the movie, what was it, The Prestige?
Yeah, where Codpiece plays him, yeah. David Bowie.
Yeah. This is definitely a ripoff of the X-Men.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a guy there that looks like Colossus. Straight up looks like Colossus.
There's a guy wearing yellow and black like Wolverine.
Yeah, I mean, there's a dude sitting in a chair. Professor Xavier. X.
Yeah. That's funny. That's good.
All right, number 8, the Golem from Israel.
Oh, boy.
Not to be confused with any Marvel characters with the same name, this Golem is a superhero from Israel with multiple origin stories. Originally, he gained his powers from a scientist's invention. Another version claims his powers came from the seal of King Solomon. A third story blames it on radiation like Godzilla and so many others. He is known as the protector of the Jewish people, and his nemesis include an Arabian demon, a Canaanite god, and a vampire. The Golem was made by an elaborate fictional comic history where an alternate universe Jack Kirby creates the Golem instead of Captain America. The Golem is even depicted on a comic book cover punching Hitler in the face like the famous Captain America cover where he does the same.
I don't want you to read the next one.
The next one is the best one ever!
No, it's not.
The next one is the reason why I grabbed this list. Number 7 comes out of Japan.
Oh, yeah, I kind of figured.
His name?
Calm down.
The Rape Man.
A hero who rights wrongs through penetration.
Oh, my God. In a satirical manga, Rape Man, the main character, Kyoko Usagi, is a high school teacher by day and vigilante by night. Oh. As his alter ego, he dispenses a surreal brand of justice through a business, Rape Man Services, that he runs with his uncle. Their business motto, righting wrongs through penetration.
Japan, what is wrong
with you? What is wrong with you?
That's not cool.
How is this a superhero?
I don't know. He's not a superhero.
It's high school teacher during the day and he rapes people at night.
Give him a mask and a cape. He's a superhero, I guess.
What the fuck? Man. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's bad.
Oh, this one's better.
Okay.
Mercury Man, number 6 from Thailand. Mercury Man is Thailand's take on the blockbuster superhero movie. So apparently this is a movie that I may have to... After being stabbed with an ancient Tibetan amulet, a firefighter named Chan is transformed into a superhero. He fights evil together with his transsexual sister, a boxer.
Really? It nemesis. Can't just be a sister.
His nemesis is some terrorist named Osama bin Ali, who plots to destroy the United States rather than Thailand. What? Thailand isn't good enough for terrorists? Also, at one point, Chan fights an elephant.
Whoa, throw that one right out there out of left field. So basically, you got a Taiwanese superhero who fights a terrorist who is determined to kill the United States.
Yes, and an elephant.
He fights nothing to do with Thailand whatsoever.
Fights an elephant. I just looked it up on Wikipedia. This is a movie that came out in 2006. I need to find this.
You gotta find your hands on Mercury, man.
Need to find this so bad. Hold on. Let me read the plot on Wikipedia. After being stabbed with an ancient Tibetan amulet, a Bangkok firefighter named Chan is transformed into a superhero when his body becomes a massive heat source, which he leans to manipulate to give him super strength, increased agility, and the ability to make great leaps. Chan's fate is entwined with an Afghan terrorist, Osama bin Ali, who wants the power of the Tibetan amulet to use the plot to destroy the United States. With his international terrorist organization, led by henchwoman Arena, Osama kidnaps Chan's mother and transsexual sister, played by famed transsexual Thai kickboxer Nong Toom, and takes them to the Royal Thai Navy base, where he hopes to launch a rocket at a U.S. Navy chemical weapon ship. Osama also has suicide bombers spread out throughout Thailand, stationed in American franchises in Thailand, ready to act on his word. Aided by the young female guardian of the amulet, Chan rescues his mother and sister. However, he must face Arena, who has stabbed herself with a companion amulet, giving her the powers of extreme cold and ice. It's choreographed by the people who did the Ong Bak movies.
Thank you for revealing the entire story. Now I can't watch it.
Oh, come on now. I have to see if this movie is available for me to watch.
Find it somewhere.
Number 5, Zoo Man, the human fly.
Dude's actually small.
Back in the 60s, a guy named Stan Lee created a superhero with various spider-themed powers. At that time, people thought it was pretty ridiculous, but fast forward 50 years and 4 movies later, Spider-Man is now one of the most well-known superheroes in the world. It's a winning formula. Take a lucky individual, liberally apply some animal-themed superpowers, and you got a comic book gold. For whatever reason, this Mexican creator chose a fly. Weird enough on its own, but there is a hero's advantages. Shrinking himself down to fight pissed off spiders and peep up skirts. Seriously.
So, like, I guess legit, the superhero picks up women's skirts.
Yeah, he legitimately turns into a human fly. He just shrinks down to a fly, and that's all he does. And he fights bugs.
He fights bugs.
And looks up skirts.
Thank you. Oh, great. We got another one from Japan.
4. Devilman from Japan. Devilman is a character from a popular Japanese manga. Akira Fudo is a boy possessed by a demon. After a mass shooting in a club by his friend Ryo, secretly the son of Satan. Secretly. Luckily, Akira is a goody two-shoes, and his pure heart keeps the evil of the demon in check. This allows him to control his powers, becoming Devilman. Later, Devilman fights Satan and brings about Armageddon.
Japan, you're so weird.
Oh, well, India's weird, too.
Oh, wow.
Number 3, Super Commando Dhruva from India. Dhruva was born to a husband and wife trapeze artist, so he pretty much grew up in a circus. When villains set the circus on fire and killed everyone except him, he vowed revenge. His powers include breathing underwater and talking to animals, except gorillas. He can't talk to gorillas. He also has a kick-ass motorcycle. Thank you.
Screw the gorillas anyway. I mean,
description of this comic book character.
I love the giant lizard eating a person in half on the cover.
Yes. I don't understand why he can't talk to gorillas. I do like that they put he has a kick-ass motorcycle, though. That's pretty sweet.
He does, yeah. The guy looks amazing. He looks like he's 5.
Right? Number 2, from the Philippines, we have Zaza Zenterna? Zaza Zenterna is a popular superhero from the Philippines, and his exploits have found their way. Hold on. That's a picture of a lady.
Yeah. And it's him. That his wasn't a typo, Rick.
I am now worried. And his exploits have found their way into film and even musicals. And that his wasn't a typo. Zaza's a man, at least some of the time. Oh, Jesus. Ada, a gay beautician, lives in small province where literally nothing interesting happens. One day when taking a bath, a spiky fist-sized pink meteorite fell on his house and hits him. Apparently, knowing a magic meteorite when he sees one and swallows it. What?
Wow.
So that ingesting strange objects is a good idea. Luckily, instead of choking to death, it transformed him into the powerful Amazonian woman. From then on, anytime Ada wants to transform, he swallows the same meteorite again and again. Think about it. How does he get that meteorite back?
Oh, that's not good.
Oh, he's eating poo. Ew. He's eating poo.
Gross.
So that's a terrible power.
Yeah, I turn into an Amazonian woman whenever I eat this pink meteorite.
1. Thank you, Mexico. El Bulbo, also known as the Bulb. El Bulbo is a super-powered light bulb.
He's legit a bulb.
He was born when, no kidding, someone cast a spell on an old television set and brought the bulbs inside to life. As for why someone would waste good magic on a TV, it was not explained. One of the bulbs believed he was Adolf Hitler and dubbed himself Adolfo. To combat him, one bulb donned a cape and became El Bulbo. The other bulbs in the TV lived normal lives, paying taxes, and contributed to society.
Thank God for that. I'm sorry, light bulbs? Really?
El Bulbo!
Fighting in a light bulb? Hitler? What?
I like is if you look at this comic book cover, it says it's $15.
Yeah, that's crazy. Number one. That's for number one.
Well, that must be like volume
first,
number one.
First issue.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like Wow Wow Wubsy. I'm not going to lie.
And now you've admitted to everyone that you watch Wow Wow Wubsy.
Bulbo, huh?
Adolfo Hitler. I like that the other bulbs are like, fuck it. And they got jobs and they pay taxes and shit.
Yeah, they're like, and who decides? Is there a mayor bulb? Is there like a guy who's like, you two do your fighting?
Yeah, but you also got to think about it, is it was one TV set. So, you know, if let's say there's four bulbs in there. We got El Bulbo and Adolfo, and then two bulbs working in jobs.
Yeah, what do they do?
In, like, people world? Like, do they work at, like, Home Depot or something? Like, what do they do? They're bulbs.
Someone give me a copy of this comic stat.
They're literally bulbs from a TV, so they're, like, 4 inches tall. Where would they work?
In the TV, I guess? I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
Well, Rick, thank you again for the enlightening list of stuff that I'm glad I'm never going to see, watch, hear, or do.
Oh, I'm going to try to watch Mercury Man, sir.
I know you are. But for now, we've been doing this long enough. The people are sick of us. Let's go ahead and tell them where they can find us later.
All right. If you want to head over to our website, you can find us at fxlnetwork.com. You can also go to fxlnetwork.com/donate to give us the coin. And maybe we'll do something good for you. Maybe we'll
give you a
500-foot garden hose. You can go on Twitter and find us at FXL Network. You can find Bob at Robert F. You can find me at Rick Piven. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/FXL Network. You can email the show at fanboysxlpodcast@gmail.com if you have any ideas for made-up movies, top 10 lists, or you just want to talk to us and we'll read them on the show. You can also head on over to iTunes, hit subscribe, and give us a 5-star review. We'll also read that on the show, as long as it's a good one.
Yes, we love good 5-star reviews.
That's all I got, sir.
That's all you got? Well, that's all I got. So for myself, and for the aforementioned Rick Piven, and El Bulbo, thanks for listening.
See you later.
Stop.
Rape Man.